school boards are hiring people without certificate, teaching certificates, to fill some substitute positions, saying in many cases, regular teachers are being forced to use their prep time to cover for their absent colleagues. On the line with us this afternoon is an Ames Fellow, the Atlantic Institute of Market Studies. Michael Zwagstra is back with us on the broadcast this afternoon. Ames Research Fellow Zwagstra, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. And you?
I'm doing okay. Tell me something, though. You're in Manitoba?
That's correct.
Did you previously live in Nova Scotia? How did you end up being a research fellow with Ames?
You know, I've had connections with Ames for a long time, and I've known the current president, Markle, for a number of years, but frankly, even before him, I had connections with the previous president, and I've done some work with the Frontier Center, which is in Manitoba where I live, and Ames and Frontier have often collaborated on a number of things, and so it's just worked out over the years that in addition to the work I do for the Frontier Center, I also do some work for Ames, because there's some similar objectives between the two think tanks.
Okay, and let's also be clear, you're a teacher, you're in the classroom.
I am a full-time high school teacher, that's correct.
All right, how long have you been teaching?
I've been teaching for 18 years.
And, 18 years ago, when you were getting into the business, what was it like?
You know, it's different in some ways and similar in others. Different in that, obviously, technology has changed a lot in the last 18 years. I've also seen a lot of swings in the job market, sometimes getting better and sometimes getting worse. And it's nice not to have to go through that whole getting a job thing again. It's nice to sort of have my career established. Hmm. And I see a lot of fads come and go as well. So those are some of the things I've seen in the last 18 years.
Yeah, and I want to get into what you're saying are possible solutions to this shortage. I had an email from someone who said, I can't call in and sit on hold for my open hour. And this person says, my daughter-in-law has a teaching degree, qualifying her to work as a teacher anywhere in North America. She got nothing but temporary jobs that the retired teachers wouldn't take, adding that retired teachers get first crack at it. And he's talking about this as a union issue. How do you see this?
Well, I see this as, I see it as a basic problem. And really, you can almost describe it as a failure in regards to not using a basic market principle. So, for example, I mean, right now in Nova Scotia, and for the last little while, there's been a significant shortage of substitute teachers. And being a substitute teacher means that you are on call and that you have to, that, you know, if you get a phone call, that you show up at the school and you do your work. And the current pay is about 2/3 of a teacher's salary per day, which works out to about $180 per day. And that's not a whole lot of money when you consider that that means that you're basically putting everything on hold and waiting for those phone calls. And so when you end up with a situation like you do now, where you have a shortage of people that are willing to do that because of the fact that a number of teachers have been hired for regular jobs, it becomes a very unappealing job. And so as a result, you don't have enough people that are just willing to sit around and wait for a phone call in order to go in and teach. Hmm. And so what I'm suggesting is we need to take a look at, are there other options? And so one obvious option would be you do what you do any time you have a different type of job, which people just don't want to do, is you potentially increase the pay for that particular job. And so if the amount of money that's being paid for a teacher to go in and substitute isn't enough to attract people to do that, then perhaps we should consider increasing that amount. And conversely, if you have times where there are lots of people who want to substitute, well, then you would pay a lower amount. So you have at least some level of supply and demand, some level of reaction from the market.
Okay, so simple supply and demand, you make it more attractive by increasing the pay. That doesn't sound, people would be surprised to hear that coming from an Ames fellow. And not to say anything against Ames, but, we're talking about less, regulation and less interference. And in fact, some of the Ames commentators have had strong opinions about the teachers' union and the teachers' contract. So just to be clear, you're saying if you increase just the substitutes' pay?
Well, that's what I'm looking at initially here. I mean, because right now you have a shortage. Now, I'll say that, again, I'm a full-time teacher. I'm a member of a teacher's union. So I work day to day in the classroom. And I can tell you there's nothing more frustrating than the occasional time, even where I live, when we don't have enough substitute teachers and then regular teachers have to give up their prep time in order to cover, because the classes still have to be covered. The classes still have to be taught. And so I'm saying that we need to actually address this problem. And one possibility that doesn't involve, you don't even have to rewrite the entire collective agreement here, to even just change that one portion so that substitute teachers could potentially get paid more, particularly when you have substitute teachers that have more skills. So, for example, substitute teachers in the area of French immersion or specialty substitute teachers, their services are frankly more valuable than a substitute teacher that's a generalist that is only willing to teach a couple of different grade levels. And so I'm saying that you have to have a reasonable amount of flexibility here. And this is something that really shouldn't be opposed by a teachers union, because it makes the day-to-day jobs of regular teachers easier if you have a regular and stable supply of substitute teachers.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what the Nova Scotia Teachers Union, what their position may be on this, but it's our government in Nova Scotia that has been talking about, you know, ratcheting back and not giving in, and not perhaps in some ways, you know, as they described it in the past, you know, letting the union run roughshod over the membership. Okay, Michael, this is something that you floated out there as a way perhaps to address this. Have you seen anywhere where they've done this? And has it worked?
Well, I mean, there are other provinces where there are substitutes definitely get better pay. I mean, Saskatchewan is an example. A substitute teacher in Saskatchewan gets paid approximately $300 a day. And I don't hear the same types of stories of a huge shortage of substitute teachers. I mean, my understanding is in cities like Regina and Saskatoon, they have a very long substitute teacher list, and they have the opposite problem where they would have too many people that are on the substitute list. And so paying $180 a day can work just fine when you have lots of people that are wanting to substitute. But when you don't have lots of people that are willing to do that, then potentially, you know, we need to look at higher pay. And yes, as I mentioned, Saskatchewan, I think in British Columbia, I think the substitute teacher pay is also closer to $250, $300. So $180 is definitely on the low end of things.
I guess the final question is, ultimately, if you're a substitute teacher, you're doing so because you're hoping, or I would assume in most cases, hoping for a full-time gig as a teacher at some point. What has been relayed to me, the understanding here is in Nova Scotia that retired teachers are taking some of these substitute roles. Is that appropriate? Is that fair?
Well, I look at it from what's in the best interest of the school and what's in the best interest of the students. And what's in the best interest of the students is having the most qualified teacher in the classroom available. And so I frankly don't have a problem if you have a retired teacher that still has skills and knows how to manage a classroom and is available to substitute teach. I have no problem with that person continuing to work as long as they're able to do the job. And so I think that I understand the sentiment. I know that we want to get young teachers in terms of giving them opportunities and all that, but I think it's short-sighted to start sort of labeling a particular group of people and say, you know, those people, they're taking too many of these jobs. And because now we're getting into sort of that ageist approach where we say that, well, because they're older, they can't contribute. And no, I want the best person in the classroom in front of the students providing the most effective instruction. Sometimes it's a brand new fresh teacher. Sometimes that would be a retired teacher coming back for a bit. I want to keep the options open.
All right. Ames.ca. You can read more from Michael Zweigstra. Michael, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Glad to be with you.
Take care. Michael joining us from just from outside of the classroom from Manitoba. Producer Matt, who did we have on our winners list for these four packs of tickets to the event